from that passage, and so it'd be great to have it open so you can look down at the right time. Good. Well, we're thinking about a new year, new you. And that is what the world tells us to do, isn't it? That with a new year comes the possibility of change. A new body, as you go to the gym, a new job perhaps, a new wardrobe, a new life. Possibilities. Whether it's going on the diet or buying the new sofa in the sale, the new year is a time for a fresh start, to recreate yourself, or to become more the person you want to be. All the adverts around us this time of year are all about that thing, aren't they? At the gym, on TV, on social media. And they work because they're tapping into something that we know about ourselves. That we're not the person we would like to be. And if you're sat there and you're thinking, well, maybe true of other people, but not me. I'm sorted. My life is fine. There's nothing I would like to change. Well, can I ask you to speak to a close friend? And they will tell you lots of things that you need to change. Because we know, don't we, that none of us are perfect. There are things that we would like to change. And that is what the Christian message is all about. It is about, at its heart, it is about change. A fresh start. A new you. We see that from what Jesus says in the passage Ian just read. Look again at verse 3. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." If we are to know God and to be part of his kingdom, his family, then we need a fresh start. That's what it means by being born again. It's a term, isn't it, that's often seen in a negative way, that term, born again. It kind of sort of dismisses someone as being extreme and wacky Christian. I've had it used that way of me. They say, "Oh, you're not one of those born again Christians, are you?" As if there's two types. There's normal Christians and then there's born again Christians. But do you see here, Jesus doesn't draw that distinction. There is only one way to be part of God's kingdom, which I take is being a Christian. You must be born again. And the reason that's necessary is because we've acknowledged none of us are perfect. We're not even the people we want to be, let alone the people that God wants us to be. But the change that is needed is not just cosmetic. Nor is it our circumstances that we need to change it. A new job, a new bathroom, and everything's going to be okay. No, it's far more fundamental than that. What we need, the Bible tells us, is a new heart. I really do need a new me. And it's my most fundamental level. I need to be born again. A complete, fresh start. And we know that's the case from of who Jesus is speaking to here. You see, Nicodemus was not just anyone. We're told in verse 1 that he was a member of the Jewish ruling council, which meant that he was an upstanding member of society. You don't become a member of the Jewish ruling council without having something about you and being in some way upright and true and just and all those things. So he was an upstanding member of the community. But also we're told that he was a Pharisee. Now Pharisees were those who were most zealous and enthusiastic about keeping God's law and pleasing him. They were the people who were wholeheartedly committed to following and loving God. And yet, here, despite all his morality and all his kind of upstanding uprightness, he comes to Jesus, acknowledging that even he is not perfect. He comes to him as a teacher, wanting to learn something, recognizing that he has something that he needs. But notice what Jesus does when he comes. Jesus doesn't say, "Well done for coming. Let me give you a few pointers on how you can make your life even better. Just a few things to work on, a few resolutions, and then you'll be okay." No. He tells him, even this moral, upright man, you must be born again. And if that's what he needs, then that is what we all need. However moral and upright we are. You see, the heart of the problem that we face is the problem of the human heart. Our hearts are corrupt. They're turned away from God, and so we need a fresh start. It's what the Bible calls sin. Now, it's amazing, actually, in today's society that I hear far more about sins than I ever did in the past. I attend Bible study, and the women there are all talking about their sins, which is a great thing, don't you think? I was in a coffee shop the other day, and there was one of the customers came in and asked the lady behind the counter, said, "How many sins are in this?" So you see, the talk about sins is not sin, S-I-N, it's sin, S-Y-N, which is the slimming world sort of category for whether something's healthy or not. But that's how often we think about sin, isn't it? It is that extra piece of chocolate cake. Or perhaps the driving when we could have walked, being lazy and affecting climate change. Or maybe losing our temper with a colleague or friend. That's kind of the things we think out when we think of sin. Things we shouldn't do, but sometimes we can't help it. It's just too easy and too good. The kind of things that we choose to give up in New Year's resolutions. But the Bible says that sin is far more fundamental, because it's actually the way that we treat God and the way that we push him to one side and don't give him a second thought. Do you know what the most popular song at funerals is? "My Way" by Frank Sinatra. "I lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway. And much more than this, I did it my way. For what is a man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has naught. To say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. I did it my way." And in many ways, it is an entirely appropriate song for the majority of funerals, isn't it? Because that's exactly what we do. We live life our way. Think about the coming year and how you think about it. Who has the right to determine how you're going to live, what you're going to do, who you're going to relate with? Who's going to be in the driving seat of your life? It's certainly how I lived my life before I became a Christian. I didn't have much thought about God and got on with living my life the way I wanted to. And if I had stopped and thought about it, I think the deal I've made with God is I won't bother you and you don't bother me. That is the default attitude of each and every one of us, isn't it? We either ignore God completely and consciously push him out, or we come to him on our terms with the expectation that that I'm in control and he is there to help me with whatever my agenda is in life. But as Jesus says, if we continue in that attitude, then we have no place in his kingdom. If we ignore God and live without reference to him now, then we will be excluded from his kingdom and from his presence for eternity. And that is why we must be born again, because it's something that we can't change ourselves. See, again, we can't even keep our own New Year's resolutions, can we? Today, apparently, at 12th of January, is the day when the majority of people have give up on their New Year's resolutions. They can keep it going for so long, but this 12 days in is when they quit. So if you're still going, then you're doing well. Congratulations. Another study, which I found last year, worked out that in the UK, we waste almost £400 million on unused gym memberships. We take them out, but then we don't use them. And if we can't even keep going to the gym, then how will we ever love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Now, you see, if this change is going to happen, it's not going to come from us. It's not something we do, but it's something that is done to us. Again, the language of new birth makes that perfectly clear, doesn't it? We've got three children, and I was there at all the births, and I can say that I had nothing to do with them. And neither did the children. It wasn't that they played any part. It was clear who was making the effort. In the first, it was Vicky, as we had a very long, protracted labour. The midwives who were with us went home at the end of their shift and sort of wished us well. They came back in the morning and we were still there. And they said, "What are you still doing here?" So that was definitely Vicky. The other two were the doctors, because we had C-sections. So Vicky did nothing either, and the doctors did all the work. But the person who certainly wasn't responsible is the children. A baby isn't born itself. And that's true if we're to be born again as well. You see, what's being spoken of here is not physical birth, but spiritual birth, spiritual new birth. Look at verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You see, this is not a moral transformation, but a radical work of God's Holy Spirit in us. God promising to do what we can't do ourselves. And again, that was my experience as I came to know Christ when I was 16. You see, my whole attitude to God changed at that moment. Before then, I'd only ever prayed to God a couple of times when I was in trouble. But then when I became a Christian, I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to speak to him like speaking to a friend. Growing up, I remember I always enjoyed hearing the Bible stories at school. We still had assemblies and we would hear the Bible stories, and particularly love the ones about lions in dens and battles and miracles and all those kind of exciting things. But they were only ever stories. And then when God, the Holy Spirit, worked to bring me to faith, that completely changed. I would want to read the Bible, and I would read it, not as stories, but as actually God speaking to me. And as I would read it, I would think, yes, that is me, as he described my character and my sin. And that's the other thing that changed. Before I became a Christian, I really didn't care about my sin, didn't care about how I lived or who I hurt. I didn't give it a second thought. But then, when I came to Christ, I started to see my sin as God saw it, as ugly, and began to hate it. See, it's a radical change from within, nothing to do with us. It's like when you have surgery. I've only ever had one operation on my back, and I hope to never have one again. Because it's all wonderful to start with, isn't it? If you've been in an operation, you're lying there already beforehand, and there may be a bit of nerves, but then they give you the anaesthetic, and it's all very pleasant and you just start counting down from 10, and then you go to sleep. And the next thing you know, you wake up, and the doctor or the anaesthetist there is waking you up. And again, things seem rather good, don't they, as the anaesthetic still is having an effect. And I looked down, and there I could see the dressing, and knew there was the sort of cut scar there, and I knew that something had happened. And then 24 hours later, when the anaesthetic completely worn off, I definitely knew something had happened. And that is the same with us as God works by his Spirit. We may not be conscious of it, but we see the effects in our lives. We see the changes. We see the scars, if you like. We feel the difference as we have a new heart with new desires and also a new ability to bring about the changes that we long for. You see, so often we can face, can't we, a new year with a sort of sense of resignation. We may want to change, but why is this year going to be any different to the ones that have come before? Why will this year I be able to keep what I long promised to do? We'll make the same mistakes, we'll fall into the same unhealthy habits and relationships. We know that we can't break that addiction. Or we can't get control of our finances or stop losing our temper, whatever we try to do. We try, but we just haven't got the strength. But here, Jesus is promising the power of God himself, God the Holy Spirit, the power that created and sustained the universe, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and the power that is at work in us, in those who believe, giving us new birth. Which surely gives us hope that change is possible. Perhaps this year could be different. You could make a fresh start. You see, our role is simply to listen to the Bible being taught, because that's how God works, by his Spirit, to powerfully change us and to give us new birth. It's why we meet here week by week, because we can change, because we want to change. And we know that's not something we can do on ourselves, but only something that God can do in us. So we come here wanting to change. It's why we're running the life course in a few weeks' time, because we know that God is the only one who can change people. So come along to that. Bring others. And see the new life that Jesus offers. But as we wrap up, I want us to see one final thing. You see, we've seen that we need a fresh start. Why we need a fresh start? Because of the problem of our hearts. We've seen the promise of a fresh start. That Jesus does really promise a new you through spiritual birth that God brings about. But how can all this take place? How can this happen? Well, have a look at down at verse 16. Just flick over the page. One of the most famous verses in the Bible. We mentioned it earlier on. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the reason this new birth is possible is because of how God has loved us. You see, you may take that for granted, but that is an amazing statement, particularly when you think about what we've already said about how we naturally treat God. It would be entirely right and appropriate, wouldn't it, if God had nothing more to do with us. But wonderfully, he doesn't. Instead, he performs the most amazing act of love as he allows his one and only Son to come and lay down his life for us. To step into our place, to bear the punishment that we deserve, taking my death so that I might have new life. That is the wonder of the Christian gospel, that Jesus has died for you. I wonder if you've ever thought about it in that personal way. You see, Jesus' death is not just something, an event that happened. Sort of back there, out there in history. But it's something that Jesus did for you. To offer you a fresh start. Jesus died for you. Perhaps just to help us to make that personal, I'm just going to say that now, and maybe you just want to echo that in your hearts. To say to yourself, the truth that the Bible claims, and see whether you think it's true for you. So I'm just going to say, Jesus died for me. And see what you think as you say that to yourself. Jesus died for me. Jesus died to offer you a fresh start. And as you hear those words, Jesus died for you, it tells you three things. As we said, it tells you that you're loved. No one else has loved you to the extent that Jesus Christ has loved you in dying for you. Secondly, it shows the depth of the problem that we face. You see, if all we need is a bit of moral improvement, a bit of extra willpower, then Jesus would come as a teacher or a life coach, but he came as a savior. Because that's what we need if we're ever to have a fresh start with God. And finally, it shows us there is no other way. Because again, if there was any other way that this could happen, then surely Jesus wouldn't have come. God would never have let his loved son come to die for us if there was another way. You see, this is the only way that we can enter into God's kingdom. There's nothing that we can do. All we can do is respond to what Jesus Christ has done and to welcome the work of God's Holy Spirit in giving us new life. Maybe this is the first time you've heard about this, in which case, please do come and find out more. But it may be that today you want to experience this fresh start. In which case, I'll be standing at the back and I'd like to take that step with you. So come and speak to me, and I'd love to tell you more about what it means to trust in Jesus. Or it may be that you're here and you're thinking, actually, I'm looking forward with that same resignation. I'd call myself a Christian, but I'm feeling that I can't change. That what I would long to be is not what I am. In which case, again, please do come. Speak to me, speak to someone else. But most of all, pray to God. Pray and ask him to do that work of changing you. Because you see, if you're trusting in Christ today, you do have the power of God, the Holy Spirit at work in you, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. We are now free to change and be the people that we want to be, but even more, the people God is making us to be. So please do, I don't leave here without speaking to someone about that. See, new year, new you. That's what we're thinking about. And we've seen that change is possible. Jesus offers a fresh start. Not just a bit of cosmetic surgery, but changing our hearts. And not just for a few days or weeks or years, but a change which can change our lives for eternity. As we said, as it is a spiritual birth that's needed. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we close. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that we are not the people that we want to be, let alone the people that you want us to be. And yet, Father, we thank you for what you have done to make that possible. Father, we thank you for how Jesus was willing to come and die for us so that we might not perish but have eternal life. And we thank you for your Spirit and for his work in your people, changing us, giving us new birth, and making us and transforming us into the people that you want us to be. Father, we pray for others, for those that we know, for those we care for, to come to find that change and new life. Pray for those particularly burdened and desperate for that change. We pray that they would hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and the new life offered in him. And we pray for those amongst us here who feel burdened and tied down with sin, who feel that they cannot break addictions and habits and behaviors that they would love to change. Please would they know your power at work in them and would look to you to change them, to give them a fresh start, and to make them into a new person, the person that you want them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.